Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
All right. Do you have a pen and paper or something you can write with? I want you to write this down. Chaos. I want you to spell it going down. Chaos. Write down chaos. Does anybody know anything about chaos? Does anybody know anything very personal about chaos? I mean, you've met chaos personally. Is this the right group? So if I need to go somewhere else that knows somebody knows chaos, we may have to go. But chaos, and here's what it means. You ready? It's C-H-A-O-S. C-H-A-O-S. Here's what it means. It's one of my definitions anyway. Christ has all our solutions. Oh, somebody got it. Christ has all our solutions. Matter of fact, he is the solution. He is the way maker. What? Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He's all that. I liked what Doug said when he was up, Brother Doug, when he was up here. He said, trust what he said. Trust what God said. Everybody tell your neighbor, trust what God said. You know, there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices out there. But Jesus did not say that you wouldn't hear other voices. Jesus said you would know his voice. He didn't say he was the only one speaking. But he did say, my sheep will hear my voice. So we have to get real intimate and close with him to be able to hear the voice and feel the heartbeat of who God is and where he wants us to go. There's a lot of other noise. There's a lot of other voices, a lot of other noise that we can hear. And we can drink from a lot of different things. And Jesus said, I want you to drink of me. Drink of the Spirit of God. And in the process of doing that, you'll be able to hear his voice a lot clearer. And you'll be able to, because his voice is not going to be like others. How many of you know that? See, the only voice that led you to salvation was the voice of the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit coming to you and speaking his love and showing you his love and what he did for you to become a brand new creature, a new creation. So that's how God operates. But in the meantime, we have chaos. We have all this disturbance, all this insanity that is going on sort of in the earth today. And we talked to you a little bit about that last week. I love that song too that we sang, and it was your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You are my reality. Have y'all ever seen The Astronaut Farmer? It's a movie. It's an older movie, The Astronaut Farmer. My goodness. Am I the only one that has seen The Astronaut? Brenda, you're not raising your hand. I'm not alone. Hallelujah. I'm not alone. The Astronaut Farmer. It's about this farmer that wants to go up in space. Do what? Raise your hand, son. Help your daddy out a little bit. My own family's not even helping me, so it's like. But nobody else in this, nobody else has seen The Astronaut Farmer. Oh, there's one. There's a few more. There's a few more. All right. Where were y'all at the first time I answered that question? Anyway. Anyway, he gets in trouble. This farmer gets in trouble because he's wanting to build a rocket ship that's going to, in his barn, that he's going to take off and build. And he wants to go to space. Has this dream about going into space. But anyway, the bank don't give him a loan, and he actually goes and throws a brick through the window of the bank. You know, and it's such a small town. That the therapy that they give him, he's got to go talk to the school, elementary school guidance counselor. Wow. That was his punishment. He's got to go talk to the elementary school guidance counselor. Well, while he's sitting there waiting on her to get freed up because she's in there with one of the students, he's sitting beside this little boy, and he says, what are you here for? he's in trouble too. He said, what are you here for? He said, he told him what he was there for, and he asked, what are you here for? And he said, I threw a brick through a window. And it's a grown man. He said, threw a brick through a window. And then he turns to the kid and looks at him again and says, what are you? Because destiny's all in this man. Passion is all in this man. And dreams are all in this man. And he looks at this boy. This kid looks like he's about 11. And he says, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the little kid looks at him. He says, I don't know. And here's what the man said. He said, well, you better find out before someone else tells you. Boy, I'm telling you, that is good. You better find out what it is that's inside you to go do before somebody else starts to define you other than God. Yes. You hear me? God is wanting to define all of us with what he says, but do we trust him enough to believe what he already says about us? You know, Abba, I belong to you. Do you belong to him? If you belong to Father God through the blood of Jesus Christ, raise your hand. See, that is a wonderful thing. Give God praise over that. Just yes, God. Yes. So we have these things, but when our thoughts are not lining up, when our thoughts, our posture, our position that we're standing, the place that we are, if it isn't upgraded to God's promises, it needs to be. Sometimes we need to look around and see where we are in the middle of the chaos and see what our posture is, see what our thoughts are, see what our attitudes happen to be in the midst of all this stuff that's going on, in the midst of this stuff that's happening. And sometimes it isn't in line or isn't holding hands with the very promises that God has given. Sometimes we need to upgrade. We need to upgrade our thinking, our attitudes, and where we are and what we need to go do and how we need to be in the middle of this. We need to upgrade to the promise of God, because the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. Amen. The promises of God are yes and amen. Say it again. Yes and amen. So be it. It's going to happen. The promises of God. So we need to upgrade, and we need to go beyond the idea of Jesus . You know, I'm being honest with you, there's a lot of people that just has an idea of Jesus. They just, here's what I think. But see, there's difference in having a theology about him than having a relationship with him. You can have all the theology, which is good. Theology is good. I'm not against theology. But if theology is all you have without relationship, you just know a lot about God, but you don't know him. And there's a huge difference in that. Bless you. So in the process of our living in the midst of a world that looks like it's going crazy. In one sense, the word it is. Because it doesn't have stability of Christ. It doesn't have the stability of Christ being Lord in what they're doing. But we have this situation that we have to upgrade to his promises and understand that they're yes and amen, and his presence is all that matters. We really need to go beyond this thing of a theology like we was talking about, but we have to learn that we're in this thing for the long haul. I want you to say to yourself, I'm here. I said, say to yourself. I'm really messing with you. Now I want you to say it out loud to yourself. I'm here. See, there is a difference. Anyway, I'm just messing with you. And you are here. And the reason you're here is because God still has a plan for you. Yes, but the earth is getting darker, like we read last week in Isaiah 59. Yes, I want you to go to Isaiah 60. But yes, it is getting darker. Yes, there are a lot of things happening that isn't God. Yes, and there's a lot of people talking that isn't God. Yes, all of this is happening. Yes, there are things being done that God's not in. There's someone here that feels boxed in. You feel like you're boxed in. I don't know what has you. I don't know what has you that way, but there's a feeling that you're confined. Who is that? Oh, stand to your feet. You just feel confined, like you're just boxed in. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Look, four of them. That's one for each corner. Oh, you're over there. All right. Did I not see you, or did you just stand up? You just stood up. Okay, so you're the fifth wheel. That's fine. You're here. You're here. Listen, here's. It just came to me. Here's what God wants you to know. God wants you to know this. The box that you're feeling is real to you. It is real to you. But what you don't know is all you have to do is stand up and start moving, because there's no floor in the box. There's no bottom in the box. So if you're already standing, just start what? Just start walking. Yeah, but I can't see. You don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. So the confining that you feel, just start walking. Or if you're sitting, you feel like you're just in bondage, just stand up and just start walking. And he will remove the box with wind that is beyond you. That's his presence. That's the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit. He will remove it, but you are going to have to stand up and start walking by faith, even though you feel this way. You feel confined. You feel this box. God is wanting you to take your stand and for you to start walking. Amy's walking. Amen. Amen. Okay. All right. Y'all can sit down. That wasn't part of the message, but I really felt inspired by the Holy Spirit to do that. And I'm sure these... I just dare you to take another lap. Amy, I just dare you to take another lap. You know, if I wasn't pastor here, I'd come to this church anyway. You guys are great. You really are. You're great. Ask yourself this question. Is where I am, is it enough? Is that enough? Is it enough for this county? Is it enough for this city? Is it enough for wherever God wants to send you? Like this young lady from Texas. Is it enough? Undoubtedly, it's enough for her because she said, yes, here I am, I'll go. She don't know. She knows sort of the place where she's going, but she don't have any idea of what's in her future other than freedom to go do what God said do. There is so much power in that when you take the initiative to be who you are, to understand who He is, that He is defining who you are and not the world and not the people that's beside you and not the people that don't like you or not the people that hate you. They don't define you. God defines you. When we start letting others define us, we're gonna become something that He never said that we were or are to be. Moses was in a chaotic time. I told you to go to Isaiah 60, but I'm going to move past that just for a moment. Exodus chapter 6. His people's in over 400 years in bondage and slavery, being so mistreated. And God sees and hears their cry, and then he calls down and he shows up. He shows up as a burning bush to a man who has committed murder, hid the body, and fled town when he realized that all the Hebrews knew it. That was Moses. And he's out tending sheep. Somebody else's sheep. Not even his own. He's 80 years old. He sees a bush burning. He has seen burning bushes before. Over in Deuteronomy, it talks about the bushes that burned. Burning bushes in the desert was not something that's out of the ordinary. But this one was. Why? It didn't go out. The little tumbleweeds in the deserts before would catch fire and then burn out. This one didn't go out. So he said, I must turn aside and I must go over here and check this thing out. And he runs into the presence of God. You may be 80, but God is still calling. God is still saying, I got work for you to do. He goes, and I won't go into all that because I really not want to talk about that part today, but God calls him to go and deliver his people. And over in Exodus chapter 6, it said, now it came about on that day when the Lord spoke to Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. You can say it. He is the Lord. There may be a lot of other lords out there, but He is the Lord of all lords. It's Him. I am the Lord. Speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I tell you to speak. But Moses said before the Lord, but Moses said, God just said, I am the Lord. I want you to go and I want you to say everything that I'm telling you to say to Pharaoh. But Moses said, what did Moses say? Moses said, behold, I am unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? He also was a murderer. He also hid the body. He also did all these things that he's thinking about himself. He's having to rehearse about everything that's so inadequate about him. Everything that is so wrong about him. But God is saying, I am the Lord. And I want you. See, here's the thing that Brother Doug was talking about. Trust God in what he said. Trust God in what he said. He said, I am the Lord. He said, well, I stutter. I'm unskilled in speech. How then will Pharaoh listen to me? Then the Lord said, here he answered. Here's the Lord's answer to that. He answered to Moses, see, first word he says, see. Everybody say see. 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 He's trying to get Moses to see something. And he's wanting to get him to see something that's of God, not of what he thinks he is, of God. Now watch this. It's very interesting. See, I make you as God to Pharaoh. You see yourself as unskilled, unworthy, inadequate, can't do it, not possible, and you're not going to be able to go do that after I told you who I was and after I told you I'm going to tell you what to say. But I want you to see something that I'm going to make you like God to Pharaoh. It's the emphasis of God saying, you need to get your attitude right about who you are. Even though we want to counter what God says, God's got another thing to say. And he's going to have the last word. He said, see, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. Then he says this, you shall speak all that I command you. I want you to see that I'm going to make God, he's going to look at you like you're a God. But I want you to speak. I'm going to tell you what to say. And everything that I tell you, I want you to go do it. I want you to go say that. And your brother shall speak to Pharaoh that he lets the sons of Israel go out to, that he goes out of his land. He's going to get him out of the land of Egypt. Now, that's going to be hard enough. He can't talk good. He's got a bad self-image. He just don't think he's ever going to be. He's so inadequate. He's not going to be able to do this. God keeps saying, I'm God. You're going to do this. I want you to go do this. I'm God. You're going to go do this. I want you to go speak. All this stuff. And then God is saying, I'm going to make you like a God to Pharaoh. He goes on. He says, I want you to go speak all that I command you. And then he goes in verse 3. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart. What does that mean? He said, I want you to go tell Pharaoh all this stuff that I'm telling you, but I'm going to get Pharaoh not to listen to you. Now, I'm like, but wait a minute, God. I'm gonna harden his heart. He is going to not listen to you. And I'm gonna cause that to happen. And I'm like, when I read that again this past week, I said, God, why would you do that? And you go on and read a little further, because here's the thing about it that I didn't realize. How many plagues came to Egypt? 10. Do you know that every one of those plagues was in opposition to a God that was in Egypt? Every one of the plagues lined up with a God that it opposed. So now I begin to see what God's doing. God is just not delivering his people. God is making known to the people of Egypt, he's God. And the gods that you have in your homes, the God statues that you have out here, you're going to see every one of them fall. You're going to see that I am greater. So his whole thing is to bring the attention that he is the one true God. So I'm like, now I understand why. Because he has to have time to demonstrate with all the plagues. He has to have time to demonstrate that he's got to go. He's going to hit all 10 of the gods with plagues. That's amazing to me. You know what that reminds me of? See, the Bible tells us that our warfare is not with flesh and blood. What is our warfare? Where is it? It is it with principalities and power. It's spiritual warfare. See, they had to go through the physical battle. They physically had to oppose. God was physically opposing every god that was there. So here we are as God's people, and we're opposing the false gods that are out in the world. Yes or no? So he wants us to answer the call. Rise up, no matter if we're 22 years old. 22. No matter if we're 22 years old, it's not about your age. Right? It's not about your age. How many of you are believers? Wave at me. You're a believer. You're born again. You have God inside you. Here is something that we have to capture. He wants us to capture that we are not seeking. We're not really seeking the presence of God. Now, wait a minute. No. We're not seeking the presence of God. You know why I know that? We're hosting the presence of God. My mindset has got to be, I'm not seeking the presence of God. I host the presence of God. Seek the kingdom of God, how it works, what we're supposed to do, and how we're supposed to do it. But we already have the presence of God, yes or no? We have the presence of God. We should host. So when we walk up, what's the name of that place you're going again? Where? Dominican Republic. When you show up, you're going to be arcing God. And that's a A-R-K, I guess, not arc. But you may be, yeah. You're going to be showing up, hosting the presence of God right in the place that you're going. Wow, you're bringing him. He's inside you. You're not looking for the presence. He's already here. See, we spend a lot of time seeking his presence. We've got to change a lot of this. We really do. Now, I love his manifest presence when it comes, when it's manifested in a place or somewhere. But see, you and I have God. So we have to learn that we host the presence of God. Instead of going into a dark place and going into a thing that we're not really comfortable with, but we always have to be reminded of what? I host the presence of God. The presence of God is inside me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes or no? We have to learn how to host his presence and do it with humility, but do it with boldness. If you get into a battle and all of a sudden you're going to be starting seeking God, you're going to wonder where he is. But when you get into a battle, you know that you host his presence. You have his presence. That's a whole different mindset. See, that's an upgrade into the promises of God. You've upgraded from, well, then I'm seeking God for his presence. No, I have his presence. I host his presence. And he actually said about himself, he would what? Never. That's a negative five. That's what it is. I'll never. I think it's seven. Anyway, but he emphasizes, I'll never leave you. So wherever you are, he is. Our consciousness, a lot of times, we have an over-exaggerated thought or belief or thinking. We have an over-exaggerated thoughts of evil. We have over-exaggerated God, Satan's ability. We've just over-exaggerated that in our thoughts, in our thinking. And when we get over-exaggerated with that, we get a disconnect from walking in his goodness. Why? Because all I'm thinking about is how big this evil is. We look at America, and some say there's no hope. I say, look at America and say, but God. If I'm going to look at it from my perspective and not his perspective, I'm going to say, we're done. But if I'm going to look at America and I'm going to look at the situation and I'm going to look at it from God's perspective, and I'm going to say, but God. Let me ask you, how many days did it take for him to turn Nineveh? There wasn't anybody. It wasn't anybody good in Nineveh. Nobody. How many days did it take him to turn Nineveh? He turned it in a day. His prophet didn't want to go say it because he had already written them off. Jonah said, I can't go say that. This place is done for. That's my words. I can't get, but see, when he began to see it from a different perspective, sometimes he was looking from a bottom of the ocean. But when he went and did what God wanted him to do, he turned Nineveh in a day. So, but God, is it too impossible? Is it impossible for God to turn America around in a day? No, it's not impossible. But see, now if you and I have written America off, if you and I have written our city off, written our county off, written our neighborhood off, we've just written it off. And the reason being is because we're not involved in the redemption of it. But when we get involved in the redemption of where we live and the redemption of our city and of our county and of our nation, when we get involved in the redemption of it, we'll begin to see hope again. Yeah. We sing, nothing's impossible, nothing's impossible, but yet we'll turn around and act like everything's impossible. But when we see it from God's perspective, when you begin to see him as he really is, and when you begin to see who you are in him, then you start living out destiny that has been birthed. There's destiny that's been birthed in Hunter and Bruce. Destiny's there. Why? It's not just for the security of them going to heaven. It's not just for that. I praise God for that. But he has work for these guys to do. Your theology's got to go beyond the facts about who he is. Your theology has got to go to the place that he is whatever he says he is, whoever he says he is. He'll do whatever he said he'll do. He does not lie. He does not make promises and bail out on you. He will not do that. He'll give you a promise and reach right into the future. Just like we said last week, he'll give you a promise, reach right into your future, and he'll bring back a guarantee that he's going to get you there. That's his guarantee. Keep dreaming. There'll be a lot of naysayers. There'll be a lot of people that will just want to just get you to stop dreaming. Why are you dreaming? Why are you dreaming that? Keep doing it. What's your dream? What's your passion? What excites you about the things of God? What excites you about your future? What excites you about tomorrow for you? You're not, as Bob said, you're not promised tomorrow. No, I'm not. But what if it comes and I'm still here? What are you excited about? What are you passionate about? Are you excited about hosting his presence? Are you excited about he's made you? But you're in training. You're in training to do greater things. He's just looking for you and I to say, Isaiah 20, rise up, rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, the whole thing is about you got to get up. You got to be able to rise, take a stand. And he said, and he shine, and you shine. How many shiners do I have in here this morning? I didn't say moon. How many shiners do we have? I mean, you know why? Because he said, arise. I want you to rise. And then he gives the reason why you are to arise. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Watch this. It goes on and it says, kings shall come to the kings. What does that mean? The ones who are in authority. The people that are in authority, where you're the people in government, mayors, listen to me. He said, kings will rise to the brightness. Kings will come. Kings will come to you at the brightness of your rising. You're shining, yes. But he said the brightness that you're going to present is going to be when you stand up. The rising is going to be bright. When you begin to rise up, that's going to be so brilliant that the people in authority is going to come to you and ask you questions. I honestly believe that the government's going to come to the church and say, what do we do about this? What do we do about that? How do we fix this? How many of y'all believe that? I believe it. You know why? Because they're not going to come up with the answers. They're running out of answers. But Moses goes on. And he follows the will of God, follows the word of God. And in all his inadequacies and all the things, inadequacies and everything that he feels, everything that he thought about, that he cannot do this, changed when he stepped up and said, okay, I'm going. He had to rise up and go do what God wanted him to do. And that's all God's asking us to do. That's the truth. Every one of us. So let me ask you this as we close. What are your thoughts about God? Is this too big? You may think it is. But that's when you need an upgrade in his promise. Nothing's too big for God. Then the next question is, what are your thoughts about you? What are your thoughts about yourself? Are they in line with what God says about you? God says, I'm not going to let him listen to you, because here's what I'm going to do. Watch this. When you feel like you're up against a wall, you're doing what God wants you to do, and you feel like you're up against a wall, it may be because they're not listening. It may be because God's not letting them hear. But here's the reason why. I will harden Pharaoh's heart that I may multiply my signs and wonders in the land. Anytime you have something that you're doing that God wants you to go do, and you start and you run into opposition, just stand there and wait. Why? Because miracles, signs, and wonders are going to take place. Why? Because you're being faithful to what he said go do, even though you're getting the opposition, you're getting the flashback, you're getting the counter. But we still stand in God. We still say what God says. And then we wait. For what? Signs and wonders. You're going to scratch your head one day in amazement of what God is doing through you and to other people. Are you ready for that? Amen. All right, stand to your feet. You're going to need to know this. God, everybody listen up. God will allow in wisdom what he can easily do away with his power. He will allow things to happen in his wisdom that he could easily do away with his power. Why is that? He knows best. So when you find the opposition, your waiting is still on him. Because he's got you in training. If it's not done away with, he's got you in training for the next big thing that is coming into your life. He's preparing you for it. So what he allows to come in his wisdom, that he could, just know, he could have easily prevented this. He could have easily, but he allowed it in his wisdom, that, and he could have took it out with his power. So who are you trusting? Trust in what God said. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your power. Thank you so much for your converting us and changing us and getting us out of the darkness into the light. Lord, like the song says, we have a light, and it's you. And it always shines. We're hosting you to this world. Let our light shine and let the brightness of it happen when we begin to rise up to what you're wanting us to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Visitors, I'll meet you at the back. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.